Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you and we just glorify you right now. Father, we thank you that you have never failed us. You have never once forsaken us. You have never looked away or walked away from us, Lord God. I thank you that you hold us in the palm of your hand, and the only way we get out is if we jump out. Lord God, I thank you that we are solidified and solid within you, Lord God. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love, for your mercy, your grace. I thank you for the peace, the joy that you've given us, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you that we're a people that walk in your love, that walk in your grace, that walk in your mercy, not just from us to you, but from each for each other, Lord God, towards each other. Lord God, that we are a people that are called by your name. We will humble ourselves. We have turned from our wicked ways, and we will get on our knees and we will pray. We will pray for this nation. We will pray for one another. Father God, we will pray for this region. And this region will be a region that calls out your name, Lord God. That is called by your name. This region is a region that there are going to be things that are named in the world that are not named in this region, Lord God. This is going to be a region where people walk in, and just walking in, chains are going to be broken in Jesus' name. Addictions are going to be broken in Jesus' name. The addictor, Father God, the abuser is going to walk in, and all of a sudden, there's going to be something that comes on that abuser that falls off of them. The pain from yesterday, Lord God, that they're no longer going to be called the abuser, but they're going to be called the son or daughter of the living God. Freedom will reign in their lives, Lord God. Father, I thank you that this nation, this land is your land. Hallelujah. And we give you glory in Jesus' name.
This old one stone and beaten left without reason to move on. And then you reached down and brought me up from the valley of dry bones.
Sing it again.
This soul, once torn and beaten, left without reason to move on. And then you reached down and brought me up from the valley of dry bones. You are the God that saves. You're the one that rescues me. And you rescue me. And you are the God that saves. And you call me from the grave. And you rescue me. Ransom out of the wreckage, pulled from the ashes of sin's hold. Hope is flowing through these veins, life born from grace, grace alone. Call me from the grave to rescue me. Oh, you rescue me, oh, you rescue me. I hear a song of victory ring over me. Sing it out. I hear a song of victory ring over me. I hear a song of victory ring over me.
Hallelujah. I hear victory in the house. Amen. Come on. Bro, shut that up. Hey. Bro, I feel victory in the house. I just feel victory in the house. I want you to know that many of you already know that you have come farther with God than you ever thought you would come. Amen. And I tell you what, some of you are not going to like my next comment, but you'll like it more after I preach the message today. But I'm glad none of you had it easy. Yeah, I know. I get all inappropriate up in the house. I'm going to say it again, attitudes and all. I'm glad that none of you had it easy. Amen. I'm glad that you had hardship. I'm glad that you had struggle. I'm glad that you had resistance. Now, I'm going to just leave it right there. Listen, you had struggle. You had resistance. But what I want you to know is you can look up and tell the devil, I'm still here. You know, I have to go back and forth between different cultures and all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to tell you how we would say it in, you know, a not so reserved setting. But I would tell the devil, hey, I want you to know, not only am I here, but I'm all up in the praise of God. I'm all up in this house. I'm all up in this house. And I ain't the weak man you once met, but I want you to know that I'm strong and I'm staying long in my new authority. Amen. Okay, I'm just kidding with you a little bit today, but I'm really not. Here's what we're going to do. There is a moment in time, and you know, as a church, you can talk to anybody in here. We have celebrated seven. Honey, is this going on our eighth year here?
No. It'll be our ninth year in February.
Oh, praise God. So we're in our eighth year. We're finishing. We're finishing our eighth year here. And you know, in the Bible, I want you to know that there is a season of rest. That's the seventh day. I believe that our seventh year was one of my most restful, peaceful years here. And then we have the eighth year, which is all about circumcision. And it's a little bit hard at the beginning, but it ends strong. And I think we're ending real well this year. And then there is that which is called the transition or the crossing over. Amen. And I tell you what, when you cross over to the other side, y'all better get ready because you have not seen yet what God has for us. When you cross completely over to the other side, we got some prophecies out in front of us, and he's a little more quiet and he's a little more reserved. But I want you to know something. When we grow in the future, you can blame the quiet one right here. It's going to be your fault, and I'm going to tell on you. Now, I'll wait. You're going to have to get to the new building to hear the whole story. But right when I was being all crazy like I am, and I was thinking, God, do you really want us to do this? Am I really seeing something? It was him who said, Pastor Phil, quiet voice. I said, you're really going to have to, oh my goodness. He says, I want you to know that we're going to build this first building, but he said, I'm telling you, we'll just say for right now, there's more. Amen. Yeah. Now, with that being said, I'm going to have to do something here. And what I'm going to do is, honey, if you want, you can help me and let Logan, you can, huh? Okay. I will do it fast. Just a little bit. Some people are used to getting too much of this on them. So I want to be conservative the first three or four times. And the new building, we don't know. Oh, it'll probably be everywhere. But listen to this. Here's what we're going to do. And this is, if you're a visitor and you're new, this is, I don't do this all the time. They'll tell you about many services that we just preach and we pray for people. But we're doing a celebration of what I call crossing over to the new side, where we leave the old stuff and we cross over. So if you would, all of those who are you regular attenders, and you know, I want you to move all completely to that side. Get yourself in a line. You're going to walk by me, and I'm just going to touch you lightly and just anointing you, because it's going to represent that we're leaving our old and stepping into our new. Amen? We're leaving our yesterday and stepping into our now and our tomorrow, because in the kingdom of God, that's all you have, is you have your now and you have your tomorrow that God can create. So we're stepping all up out of this season of closing, and we're stepping in into that new season of life, refreshing, reopening, and I want your hearts to be open to whatever God may do. Amen. So quickly just walk by. Come on, just quickly walk by me. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Not counting on thing. This thing God never fails. You will not fail me now. You won't fail me now. In the waiting. This thing God is never late. He's working all things out. He's working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. All my days, oh yes, I count on one thing. This thing God never fails. You will not fail me now. You won't fail me now. In the waiting. This thing God is never late. He's working all things out. Working all things out. You high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. All my days, oh yes, I will. Oh yes, I will.
Ha.
of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel like we should give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, you guys are almost making me want to run, but we'll get to business right now.
Wait a minute. Didn't we talk about this before? Don't just threaten. Come on. If you're going
to. Okay. I will. Yes, I will, Lord. Woo. Woo. Whoa. Hallelujah. Yes, I will, Lord. I will get crazy. I will get out of my comfort zone. I'll get whatever you need me to get. I just want to get out of the land of brokenness into the land of the healing freedom of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah. Visitors, I promise you.
Don't let him give you an empty promise. He is this crazy all the time. He was getting ready to say, I promise you I'm not this crazy all the time. That is not the truth. Ask all of them.
I don't run every service, though.
He don't.
Amen, amen.
He could. He would die if he tried.
Oh, now you're giving me a challenge.
He's up here catching his breath now, bless okay. the Lord.
I think she just gave me a challenge. I should run every service once from now to the end of the year.
Come on.
So we're going to start every service.
Woo!
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, at some point, I'm expecting somebody to join him.
Hey, oh, come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'll wait. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Listen, the Lord is here.
Hallelujah.
I don't know what it is that you need. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with. But there is nothing that he can't do. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Nothing is impossible to our God. Amen.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you've got going on that he hasn't already made a way out of.
Now, I'm not saying this as though this is scripture or doctrinally proven. I'm saying this, you know, Paul the Apostle said, on this and this I give you doctrine. He said, but on this and this, this is more my opinion or what I sense or what I see. And the Lord is telling me that there was only a few men that he caught up in the air. And there's one, only one, who he physically resurrected from his grave and brought him up. And we know that to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, out of all those men, the only one who truly exceeded and achieved his full purpose was the one who we know to be Lord and Jesus, Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? But the Lord said that in the New Testament and in the New Covenant, after the Lord went up to heaven and made everything brand new and brought a new covenant, I'd be concerned if, as to date, we have seen many that finish their race so strong where the Lord says you can do exceedingly abundantly above. He said, there are still those who, if they would run towards me, I would like to raise the bar on what that means to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. He said, in other words, I would like for you to challenge me enough to have to part the Red Sea. I would like for you to challenge me enough. Don't live your life in such a beggarly mode that you barely get into heaven. Don't live your life in such a beggarly mode that you have not challenged God to do that which is the supernatural, that which is the miraculous, that which is beyond the ordinary into the extraordinary. God is telling me that he's yet waiting to release the full potential of what he could do for a person that would just boldly call upon his name. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. I do want to thank Brother Carol May here, who under pressure and last minute notification went beyond himself out of his own comfort zone and preached the gospel on Thursday night. Amen. Boy, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And we want to apologize. It was cut short a little bit. Yeah. We tried to get it back on, but because
I was
the
mad
loop that it takes. Yeah. We couldn't get it back on. So it was cut a little bit too short. We apologize for that.
I will tell you this. Oh, go ahead. No, you apologize. Go ahead.
What else were you going to say?
I'm not talking till you finish. I
was just
rudely
say,
cut
we
you
really
off.
Tried to get it back on.
Amen.
But the way that it loops.
Amen.
It just wasn't possible. Go ahead.
So in other words, I will tell you the good thing about my bad experience on live streaming this past Thursday. I don't even... I got to tell you, you guys know I'm old school, so I'm not up to date on Facebook, live stream, and all that stuff. But it cut off right when I wanted to see the end of it. And I was like, hey, wait, I want to see this.
There's more.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I wanted to see this. I wanted to see the finish of this. So I'm telling you right now that even if I have to use a little bit of my own money, we're doing something extraordinary to make sure that in the new building, our live stream, our Facebook, or whatever it is as good as it can be.
Well, it's just an error. It's just,
oh.
It won't happen again. It's just an error.
Well, I still think we're going to invest.
Happens. Accidents happen.
We're still getting new in the new building, right?
No. I bought this equipment for your new building.
What?
Yes. Like we.
I might have to amp it up.
I'm going to amp you up.
Okay. Well, now you know where the vision comes from, and now you know where the control steps in. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, if you don't have a healthy balance, it can become an abomination. So this is the healthy balance to my craziness, because I'm always out.
Women, this is why we were made out of bone. Just telling you, because we had to be stronger in certain ways, because we got to balance these men out. Now, they're great men of God. And you know I think my husband's a great man of God. Just don't tell him I said that.
Come on, can you say that? Back up. I didn't hear. No. The live stream cut off. We need a repeat. You said your husband is what?
If the live stream cut off, it ain't coming back on for at least 20 minutes. So it's okay.
Woo. I feel like we need another dose.
You're out there watching, and you pray for me. Please pray for
Amen.
Me. This
Amen.
Is a plea from Pastor Regina. Please pray
Amen.
For me.
Amen. So, hey, I'm is anybody joking. Here that was part of the outreach Saturday? Anybody here? Only our early service goes to do outreach?
For this one. Philip's downstairs. Philip was there, but he's downstairs. Right.
Well, I got to tell you something. We heard reports back of how they got to pray for people and they did get told no a couple times, which we know that's very important, amen? Have the door closed on you and be told no. But we also prayed for people. And I believe in the back. Are you guys here because you got touched by outreach? Can you raise your hand? Praise God. God bless you.
Welcome, welcome.
God bless you.
We're glad to have you here.
You know, I want you to know something. That they may not know this, but the very fact that they're here, I will knock on 1,000 doors. I tell you what, we'll give up 1,000 Saturdays and we will reach towards people in the kingdom of God. Amen? You know, I thank God, Chad, that someone had the wherewithal to reach towards me. I thank God that in my moment of hardship, people were not all fun and in the sun. Somebody woke up, got out of their convenience of their own comfort zone and reached towards a little broken man. And a little beautiful, wonderful girl that's been perfect from the day I met her. But they reach towards us.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. Amen. So give those people that outreach a hand clap. And let's give our visitors who got outreached and said, well, I'm going to go out and see where these crazy people are from. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
Now you know there was more crazy going on than just what you saw.
I want you to know something, too. I'm going to tell them how it really is. If you're crazy enough to come once, hey, you know, the Bible, what's that old saying they used to say? Get me once, shame on me, however it works.
Shame on you?
Yeah.
Get me
yeah.
Shame on me?
Yeah. So here's how we do it here. If we get you here once, hey, that's shame on me, I'm sorry. But if you come back twice, woo, we got you after the second time. So, hey,
stop it.
God bless you guys. Amen. I'm just kidding you.
Amen.
But anyhow, is there anything else, honey?
I don't have anything.
Okay, praise God. Well, did we let the children go to children's church?
I see some.
Oh, let them go. That means I didn't do offering either. Hey, oh, go ahead. What? Yes, your question. Oh, my goodness. He has a question. through all this confusion and running around this week, did Miss Pastor Regina and I have a good anniversary? Baby, come on up here. I can't give the report.
Yes, we
You know, an anniversary does not belong to a guy to, just like a wedding. Listen, it does not belong to the guy to get to be the final voice. You got to let her be the voice.
Yes, we did. You know, normally we don't even, like, we might go out to eat, but that's it. We were planning on being here.
Yeah, we got.
But our father in the faith, the apostle of this church, said, no, you're going to take a couple days off. So that's why we took a couple days off. But it was nice. It was a rest well needed, and it was time just to be able to spend some time together. And even in the midst of it, we did a little bit of business. We picked out the stone for the new church.
Yep.
And so we did get a little bit of work done that was exciting. But yes, thank you very much for asking. We had.
We went to have a very nice meal, and I got the call. So I might have got a couple little things in there that were anniversary related. For little Miss Sweetie Pie, so I think I did pretty good.
You know, I have to say this because I feel it pressed upon me. You know, normally I'm not the mushy one that's going to get all emotional with you. It's going to be Phil. But I don't know. I just really feel the Lord pressing on me. I think back. We've been married 26 years.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I've been saved a little over that because we got saved before that.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
And I look back at the faithfulness of God in all of it, and I think about where we were at. If you don't know our story, if you don't know where we were at, we were living together, not saved, had Philip already.
Amen.
We were broken. Mm-hmm. I was the worst, nastiest person you would have ever met. You would have hated me.
No, you weren't, baby.
Yes, I was.
You were beautiful.
Listen, I'd have killed you if you would have been home that day.
Oh, I know.
I had a gun in my hand, and I would have shot you had you been home that day. I was a nasty person.
Amen.
And I was broken, and it was all because of the brokenness that had happened in my life. And when I sit and think about the 26-some years ago that God reached down and pulled us out and brought us out of where we were at, and when I sing songs like God That Saves, or You Never Let Me Go Even in My Darkest Hour, listen, I sing from a place of where he has brought me from, and I am so grateful. And when you have these milestones and moments in your life, don't forget to take the time to thank the God who made it all possible and brought us into the place of freedom.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
We ate a steak dinner.
Amen.
We would not even have been able to afford
exactly. Probably
the sides.
Exactly.
When we got married.
When we got married, we'd have been able to afford the sides to that steak dinner. Listen, I'm not saying this in a beggarly way, but you know what? I forgot we didn't do offering. You guys, we're building a building and everything, and you let me forget about offering all the time. Do you know how I usually give an offering in the last few months? Guys, is this the truth or not? Give me an envelope. Offering envelope. Thank you, Miss Jeannie. Please. Thank you. But this is how I do offering most times. People sitting out there in the congregation will get to the end of service and they'll go, am I lying or am I telling the truth? I'm telling you, we've been in such a season of just pressing towards God. And I know that we got a big building out there to buy, and I know that people think we'd be all caught. Listen, that building doesn't belong to us in that way. We don't need to have pressure about money or that building. If God didn't want that building, it would have never got started. But because God does want that building, no devil in hell, no attitude or no wrong voice against it can stop it. Amen? And what the Lord provides, no man can stop. What's the real saying, babe? What the Lord what? I don't even know what it is. They say these Christian cliches. I'm not good at them. All I can tell you is that when the Lord releases something, Mr. Smith, he will release what's needed to get it done. Amen? So listen, I don't have no pressure for finances. I don't have no worries about money coming in or not. The bad thing about that for you is that means I ain't compromising no gospel. I ain't going to, listen, you heard after the message today. Listen, I'm not twisted by money. Listen, I'm a businessman. I preach, but I still do my own business because, listen, if I want to take my wife to Hawaii or to Aruba, and that happens sometimes, I don't want you sitting around saying, I wonder if that's church money. Listen, look at how much you tithe. Or don't tithe, half of you know it ain't church money. Oh, not in this church, in most churches. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. You know, most of the time when I hear people say something and talk negative about a church or a pastor, Most of the time, they'll say, I wonder what he's using our money on. I said, well, you don't got to worry about your own money, do you? You ain't giving 10 cents. Now, I got to tell you something. I never look at your offering.
He doesn't. That's the truth.
So if a man was giving, he could say, see, that's how much you don't care. I tithe all the week. But I typically, the complainers and the whiners, I never have them. I can say that to them because I never have them tell me, no, I'm a tither. You know why? Because the people that are already part of the house, people that are tithing in the house, people that believe in the house, they ain't complaining and whining around because they know what they're giving to and what God's building. Amen? So just remember that. Just remember that. Most times when people are complaining and whining, they ain't got no investment in it anyhow. I don't mean to be mean. I'm so politically incorrect for a church service. I'm sorry. I'm trying to polish myself, but it just you just get what you get, amen? There's a friend of ours who came up with a saying, said, "You in our house, when it comes to food, they have kids running all over the place. So you can't always please kids with what you feed them, right?" And so this couple came up with a saying. They said, listen, in our house, you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. Amen, amen. So in the house of the Lord, you get what God wants you to get, and we don't throw a fit. Amen, hallelujah. But anyhow, I do want to take just a minute to say, how many actually knows what a tithe is? Amen, amen. If you don't know what a tithe is, the Lord says that 10%, the first fruits of your income. So if I made $50 a week, a tithe to God would be $5. Now, God's also a generous God because he don't want you to believe in legalism and all that kind of stuff. So he gives you offerings. Now, when you make an offering, it can be anything you want it to be. But the tithe should be 10%. And the reason God does that is not because he needs anything from you. You know, 90% of the church in whole doesn't tithe. So when you see big buildings and you see all this stuff going on, listen. And now this church, I'm believing that's a whole different story. I'm believing it is a whole different story. It is probably. Amen. Amen. But I want you to understand something. That the tithe is not because God is a harsh oppressor or a ruler. The tithe is so that he can touch your natural work and your natural with his supernatural. Amen? In fact, the Lord says in the Bible, listen, please, give me your tithe so that you don't rob me. Well, the kingdom of God is rich. Absolutely. He's saying, give me your tithe so you don't rob me of my opportunity or my right to rebuke the devourer, tell Satan to get himself off of your situation, and don't destroy my opportunity to add my blessing to your life. Amen? And tithing is not a part of the old covenant. It's not a part of just the New Testament. Listen, it was from the foundation of the creation of humanity. The tithe goes way back before even the idea of the New and the Old Testament, because in the garden, hey, Adam and Eve must have tithed because they taught their sons Cain and Abel. And the Bible says that Abel was a good-hearted young man, and he gave God his first fruits, and the Lord blessed him and just kept him and protected him. And his brother Cain got so mad, and he was just angry at his brother, and the Lord said, whoa, 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 Cain, you know what's required. He says, and if you do right, I will bless you. So even after Cain had done wrong, the grace and the mercy of God was, look, I can't change the covenant, just like this Bible. He can't change what's been written. But I want you to know something. He says, but if you will do what you know to do, I promise you that immediately I will remove what you didn't do right, and I'll bring blessing. He said, Cain, if you do right, you know I will bless you. Well, Cain rose up with more of an evil attitude, and instead of repenting and blessing, he killed his own brother. And I want you to know something, that we don't ever want to be people that do anything against the covenant of God. Because if God has a covenant, it's to do you well. Amen? So I tell you what, I pray that you are a tither. If not, I pray that this is your first time of tithing. I pray that you would be tithing. And I promise you, next week, Pastor Regina just gave me a vision of how we started. So I think next week I'm going to make an adjustment. And, ooh, I'm sorry, because we didn't do our anniversary right, our pastor told us to take all these days off, and because someone needs help in the kingdom, I just remembered next Sunday I'm not going to be here. But come, it's going to be flourishing. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be great. But the following week after that, I start a new series anyhow. And I am going to take you back to the good old days. Amen. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be exciting. But I'm telling you, today we're just going to pray. And I'm not going to forget to the end and get envelopes waved at me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, in your mighty name, Father, Lord, just like you spoke to Abel and Cain, Father, Lord, I hear you speaking to your people today. And Father, if someone would have fear of tithing, if someone had fear of giving an offering, Lord, I pray that today they would use their faith. And God, as a result, Lord, you will touch them. The Bible says, prove me. Lord, you don't tell anybody, hey, if you don't do this. No, no, no. You say, come and prove me. If you do this, you will see how I will rebuke the devourer and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing upon you. Now, God, I thank you for loving your people, touching your people, and blessing them today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Yes, I will let you out. In the lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Oh, my days. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, my days. Oh, yes, I will. For all my days. Oh, yes, I will.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hey, I have to tell you guys something, that what I am going to do is, I can tell you just by the way the Spirit of the Lord is moving today, that I am not going to be able to take answers and questions on our service today, and we're finishing our discussion on a very fun topic, amen? Yes. I said we're finishing our discussion on a very fun topic, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. It's going to be an exciting topic for you. But what I'm going to do is Thursday night, if you have any questions left over from this topic, then I will answer those on Thursday night. And we're going to finish this topic, and we're going to get ready to go into our next topic, which I'm going to surprise you with, but it's going to be very, very, very good. Amen? And so I'm going to continue and I'm going to conclude today my preaching on a very popular subject. I tell you what, we've all been exciting about it. We've all been using our faith about it. And I'm telling you what, we are ready to go and put it in practice. Amen. We have been talking about the power and the necessity of fasting. Hallelujah. Praise God, Pastor. We're excited. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, as you're going to find out that in the kingdom of God, things are much different in the natural. In fact, to the point where the Bible says that what's foolishness to men is wisdom to God. And what's wisdom to God looks like foolishness to men. So we're going to teach today on fasting and the power and the importance of it in our life. But we're also going to teach about the fact that in the kingdom of God, unlike in the natural, when it comes to fasting, God wants you to be fat. Now listen, I'm not trying to offend anybody. But in the realm of the spirit, listen, fasting does not lead you to leanness. Now on the outside, you might look lean after fasting. In the physical, it might make you look lean, but you are going to get fat all up in the kingdom of God. And that means faithful, accountable, and teachable. But before I can step any further into this message, I almost forgot that there was a word that came forth that is absolutely critical to the house. And so I'm going to honor that word because it just came back to me. So we have someone who has a very God-released word for us. So Mr. Chad Smith, come up here and tell us what you got in your spirit.
So you heard Pastor Gina's testimony of, and Pastor Phil was talking about when that person reached out to him. And, you know, 26 years of salvation, there's a harvest coming. Those salvations are going to come here, come everywhere in the churches of this community, and they're not just going to trickle in. This is what the Lord has to say about it. We could fill every seat in this entire county, and it's not going to be enough for the outpouring of the harvest of salvations that we reap. Amen? That's it.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to do. I got to preach a little longer today because I've got to lay a little foundation, especially because we have visitors. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. That we as humanity are representative of like the world when it was first created. Now, the world had all this potential, and it had all this potential and ability to be something, but until the word of God would spoke to it, it was really nothing because it was sitting there without form and it was void. Amen? Now, what I want you to know is that if we were to read John chapter 5, 24 through 30, we would find out that the Lord himself said that until a man or a woman would receive Jesus Christ, they cannot pass from death into life. Amen? And we'd understand that within that same scripture, the Lord would say, listen, you're looking at me and you believe what you believe about me, but it's only because I don't do anything on my own strength. John 5:30 says that even Jesus, a holy man, Chad, that never sinned one time, he said that in this life I can of my own self do nothing except for what I see and hear from my Father. So I want to put you on notice that I love each and every one of you. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I must tell you today that if you've lived in your life up till now unsaved, I thank God that you survived. I thank God for the good things that you have going on. But I also will tell you that you have suffered some wrong, some loss, some missteps, and some mishaps. Because without God, a man or a woman, without Jesus as their foundation, is going to be Floyd, dark, and reckless at times to their own destruction. Amen? So now with that being said, I want you to know that when a person gets saved, then they step into that time where nothing is impossible for you. I want you to know that you're going to learn even within this message that once you step into salvation, it doesn't matter if you get it when you're early. It doesn't matter if you get it midway through your life. It doesn't matter if you get it at the end of your life. It does not matter. All that matters is that you give Jesus Christ your life. And I promise you that as soon as you do, your now will come alive and your future will be blessed. Amen. So I want you to understand that right now where you are, it doesn't matter if you're 20 years old. It doesn't matter if you're like me. You're only 25. It's a faith statement. That is faith. Don't steal by faith. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter if you're 70, 80, or 90 today. It only matters that if you would just give God a now moment, he would bless your future. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into this topic on fasting and praying, but I'm laying a little bit of a foundation first because even in order to fast and pray with proper motive, you've got to know why the Lord needs you to fast and pray. Amen? I want you to know your family needs it. You need it. We need you to be the person who fasting and prayer and seeking God can make you be. And also, the world needs it. How many of you believe that Jesus can do anything? How many of you believe that Jesus did it all? And how many of you know that Jesus was never limited? Amen? There was nothing that could stop Jesus. When he was on this earth, he commanded the sea and the water. When he was on this earth, he could turn death around. When he needed to, he could get a mule, or he could get bread and turn it into all the food it needed to be. He could lift people up in miracles. Jesus could do everything. He was not limited in anything. Is that true? Amen. However, we find Jesus telling us at least one time there is a place of power, anointing, authority, and responsibility where Jesus even needed our help. Jesus needs me. Listen, you're more than enough. Jesus needs who you are. Listen, you are not born and alive on this earth without God having a desire for you. Remember, our God in heaven says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4, somewhere in there, I might have the scripture quoted wrong. Somebody will let me know next week. But in that scripture, it says that God says the will of God is for every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth to be saved. I want you to know something. If you are living and breathing, well, you don't know my background. We're going to get to that at the end of the story. Well, you don't know what I've been through. We're going to get to that at the end of my message today. Listen to me. It does not matter. I'm not saying this because I don't feel for you. I'm not saying this because I'm not compassionate. I'm not saying this because it doesn't hurt my heart. Listen to me. It does not matter where you're at. It does not matter where you've been. It does not matter what you've been through. Not because I don't care. I know some of you have been abused, mishandled, mistreated. You went through things that a man or a woman or a child should never experience on the face of this earth, and certainly God did not want you to experience it. But sometimes humanity without God can do things that are even beyond our imagination. But I thank God that even when humanity can get so crazy, God can reach. I said God can reach beyond who you are, and God can snatch you up out of brokenness and can restore you and give you hope and a future. Now listen to me, this is what the Bible says. This ain't what Pastor Phil says. When these words are in red, I love it because you can toot up your attitude, you can cross your hands, you can get mad, but this is what Jesus said. Yes. And so you can still blame me. I got broad shoulders, I'll take it, but Jesus says what he says. It says in Matthew chapter 9 that the Lord is speaking to his disciples whom he loves. And it says in Matthew 9, verse 33, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, you would think that because he's the Son of God at this time, you would think that he'd say, hey, this is no problem, I got it. You would think that when he was moved with compassion, miracles was happening, the sea was going to shake, the earth was going to shake, but Jesus would say, I got it, this is me, this is who I am. But I want you to be confounded today because Jesus did have a message to his disciples, but it wasn't that this is all on me. Say hallelujah. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore. He didn't say, I'm going to pray and handle the burden by myself. Jesus didn't say, hey, I got this. Don't worry about it. Kick back, relax, just hang around me. It's going to be okay. Oh, come on. I got to tell you about yourself and myself too. I'm talking about myself. Listen, every now and then I have had my Regina tell me, honey, you need to go take a shower because them pits are not smelling all that well. Amen. You know, sometimes we need help to discover what we need to do. Amen. But it says this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to know that half the problem with the church is that you're frustrated, not in this house, but half the church is frustrated, disgusted. Life is not going anywhere. They're not moving in anything. And they think it's the next relationship they need. They think it's this they need. I tell you what, sometimes it's just that you need to be the laborer that you are. You need to just tell your testimony. You just need to reach toward your neighbor. You just need to open up your mouth and let God tell what he's done in your life. I want you to understand me right here that Jesus is reaching back to his own disciples just like Jesus is reaching towards the church today. And Jesus is saying, please, the harvest is great and I need to send forth people, but I can't send forth just anybody. I have to send forth laborers. You know, Mr. Steve, when we go to war as a country, the nation can pray, but we can't send forth anybody, can we? We only have four divisions, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force. Oh, in the Coast Guard. Thank you. Praise God. See, I knew I couldn't be right because I only got the four. I need the fifth one because five equals God's grace. Come on. You guys help me preach all the time. But listen to me. I want you to know that it's those five divisions of the mercy of God that say, I will go to war and I'm going to accomplish that which nobody else has the ability, the training, or the right to do because I'm in the forefront of things. And I want you to know that the Lord is reaching to his church and he's saying, not everybody's going to be a laborer. Come on. But he's going to say, Lee, you, my brother, oh yeah, you need to come forth. Come on. And I'm looking at every one of you because I believe that you are part of those people that must come forth and be a laborer. Someone might not ever be able to do it, but you can reach your hand towards them. Someone might not ever be able to come through that door by themselves, but you can help. Someone might not be able to get out of their couch at home, but you can go to their home and help. See, someone's got to be a laborer. And if you're going to be a laborer, it's kind of like this. In the natural, we can make all these associations. They're easy for us. When we think about our Ohio State Buckeyes, woo, you know, they can go and play football and do real well. And, you know, parents are crazy. Because if their kids are part of a championship football team, they'll forget about being at home. They'll forget about this. They'll spend extra money. The coaches are out there running their kids till they puke and throw up. And the parents are saying, yeah, get him, Johnny, get him. Coach, don't let Johnny go till he preaches his guts out until he falls down with a leg cramp. Oh, son, I'm so proud of you. You know, any other time we'd be racing him to the hospital. But all of a sudden, because it's sports, we're all into this thing. Hey, you know what I'm talking about here in Kenton, amen? We'll put our kids through all kinds of stuff. They're going to be a world champion. I love you, but your child ain't got a chance of watching TV with world champions. No, you don't know my child. Hallelujah. So we're all good with that stuff in the natural. But how come if our kids say, oh, I went to Bible, I went to church camp, and I want a double dose of the Holy Ghost. Sit down, Freddy Bear. You're getting a little too wild there. Come on, Daddy. I want to go on a fast. I want to pray. No, boy, listen, I like you going to that church stuff, but you better get yourself settled down. You're getting a little over there in strange zone. Listen, we'll let them kids get strange. Oh, I love when I preach like this in Kenton, Ohio, because in Kenton, Ohio, nobody can fight me about sports or anything because our kids will be limping around sprained up. I mean, I was listening. They had, you know, in the past couple of years, we have prayed for kids from the football team. Oh, which, by the way, are you guys ready to feed the football team? Yeah. We got our request already. Is the chicken church going to feed us this year? Praise God. Hallelujah. We're known as the chicken church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, huh? We might want to make them something else. Okay. Well, I think we'll make them an option, brother. But all I know is they said, is the chicken church going to feed us? Hallelujah. But anyhow, listen to this. I want you to understand something. Hear me and hear me well. When it comes to sports, when it comes to the military, when it comes to teachers, when it comes to doctors, when it comes to people like that, we have an association in our brain that if a doctor goes to 7 years of school, it's okay. But if I tried to do that so I could dig a ditch, people would think I was crazy. If someone's going in the military and they want to be physically fit and they want to shoot guns, we think that's okay. But if their neighbor does it too much, we think they're a little on the wild side. But we can see all these things in the natural, and we can associate, oh, yeah, go for it, go for it. Dad, I'm doing two-a-days. What does that mean, son? It's 98 degrees out at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to be at practice. It's 103 degrees out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to be at practice. Drink a lot of water, boy. Drink a lot of water. But you better not slow down, and you better not get cut from the team. Go, I believe in you. But when it comes to supernatural things, we're so reserved. I had a guy come up to me one time. He said, well, my boy, he's about 4 or 5, and he's talking about getting saved. I said, well, can he tie his shoe? So what do you think is more important, that he ties his shoe or Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Yes. I thank God that even in my traditional, much stiff environment church filled with tradition, I thank God that when this young man went up to the church, the old doors of the church are open. I ran up and hopped in there at 5 years old. my mama with her little hat and her little white gloves on. Said, boy, get back here. You're too young for that. Brought me back to my seat. I cried for 3 days, and the pastor drove out from Cleveland, Ohio. He said, Annie, if that boy's still crying, I probably need to talk to him. And he put me under review, asked me all kinds of questions. He says, Annie, I got to tell you, this boy knows more than most adults trying to sit in that chair. He said, we're going to let him sit in that chair Sunday. And Sunday morning at 5 years old, this little boy sat in his seat, whew, in my best suit, and said, yes, sir. I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need him in my heart. And he said, amen, he be yours. And that's exactly how he said it. We didn't all talk proper back there. You know, you didn't have to be hermeneutically correct and all the political agenda of looking like a priest back then. My pastor said, he be yours. Amen. And I took him from that day forward. Now, I wish I could tell you that I had a 5-year story of living great and blessed, but we won't get into all that. I got a little cocky. I got my own little attitude out there. I went through a few years of brokenness, but thank God between Jesus and that pretty woman over there, woo, they helped pick me up when I needed it. Amen. But with that being said, I want you to understand something, that in the natural, we believe in all these things. In the natural, we know that water, sleep, air and food are essentials for the natural life. I tell you what, right now, if our kids go too long without water or food in the hot heat, we'll say, Johnny, get in here. No, mommy, I'm just playing. Johnny, it's lunchtime. Boy, you can't be out in that hot heat without eating something. It's too hot out there. We do all that stuff. Listen, I grew up in the country. I'm not afraid to tell you that I ate snapping turtle. I ate my wild, I ate some of everything, but it was enough to keep me going, and I'm not afraid or ashamed of it. Amen. I went to a game banquet the other night, and I had to tell them, listen, get back now, and don't get offended. We are here in Kenton. But I told them, guys, I said, don't be trying to steal my redneck heritage. I said, just because my skin's a little darker than yours, I know how to cook turtle. I know how to do fish. I know how to hunt. When I was growing up, my daddy would leave me 3 shells on my table with an S on it. That meant go get me 3 squirrels, boy. He'd leave an R there. That meant go get me 3 rabbits, boy. And then because my dad had grace, he didn't even know it at the time, I'm sure, but he'd leave me 5 shells because then he wanted pheasant. And he'd allow me to miss 1 or 2 shots to get me 3 birds. Come on now. I'm country. So you're not taking my redneck heritage. I have a right to it. Amen. I earned it. But with that being said, I want to introduce you to something. In the natural, we think it's all good when people know that air, food, water and sleep are essential for us to be physically healthy. Amen. Well, how much more so, wouldn't you think? Fasting, prayer, obedience to God, reading his word, and using your faith would be in the kingdom of God. Yes. Yes. Give the Lord a hand clap. Yes. See, I want you to know that just like humanity would cease to exist with any of those 4 essentials, and Mr. Lee, you know this, but I'm telling you, out of the 4 essentials, we like to say, food's the most important.
Come on.
But no, no, no. I hate to tell us, sleep is way more important than food. Amen. And again, I want to say, after sleep, food's most important. I'm sorry. Water's even more important than food. You can exist for days without food, but you can't without water. Okay, okay. So certainly. Wait, hold on, honey. Certainly, we can say, okay, I can understand, you know, if water's more important, if sleep's more important. Oh, man, I can understand if you're saying these things are more important than food. But you're telling me that something we can't see, something we can't feel, something that we don't even understand how it happens, because you and I get to talking, especially with me, you guys wonder if I'm even breathing at all. Hallelujah. But when we get to talking and we're stirred up, you know what I mean? When Lee don't come home or do what he's supposed to do, and you say, honey, I got to deal with you. You know, he's sitting there saying, does she even take a breath? Because as soon as she does, I'm running out the door. Hallelujah. But listen, what I'm telling you is that in all of these moments, the least thing that we would think would be most essential by science would be air, but the most critical thing that we can't live without is if you take my air from me, that would kill me quicker than taking water, food, or sleep. Listen to me. I want you to know something that some of us don't realize, that taking the word from yourself, taking prayer from yourself, taking what God has to say about you from yourself, it might look like it takes years, but it will kill you faster than any medical diagnosis you could ever get. And the only thing that can undo a medical diagnosis is the word of God. Hey, do you know that the word of God can do the impossible? Yes. Do you know that the word of God, do you know that faith in a God who can heal will do the impossible? Do you know that there is no disease that can last in God? Listen, do you understand that everything? You know, I just ministered to two people, three people, four people this week with this one event that happened in our church way back in 2007 or 2017. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm not very good at this, so hold on. This is a divine inspired moment. Since he's sitting over here, I'm going to not make the one who can talk real clear do it. I'm going to make the one who's kind of shy. But Mr. Scott, come up here for a minute. I want you to tell me the story, just real brief, just real brief. Come up here. Tell me the story, simple version, of your baby. And you guys came here and we were on a journey and you guys adopted a beautiful girl. And you guys adopt children and that's what you do. And we had this adopted baby and they thought, well, we're going to do the hepatitis test and all that and get us going. But the diagnosis was something worse. I want you to tell them and then I'm going to play the answer right here.
My wife and I were foster parents, and we went and we have adopted five children. So we ended up with Kaya. Kaya's 4 years old right now, and we had adopted her. And at the time that we had gotten her adoption, we were given word that there was another child to be adopted or to go into foster care. Amen. So we started fostering Libby. And then, I don't know, it was briefly, I think right before we were going on vacation, we got word that she was diagnosed with HIV. Amen. So that was pretty devastating because here we've never handled anything like that before. So we were getting ready to go on vacation. And, you know, we just kind of put it into the Lord's hands. We prayed about it, and the amazing thing was is after they got tested, they tested it again, found out that she was cured from HIV.
So. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Oh, God bless you. Now, I will tell you that, yes, you can sit down now. Hallelujah. That lets me know that he's uncomfortable with that. But listen to this. Here's what I want you to know. Now, it took their faith. I remember Carrie, even before the test finally came back, she says, God, I believe. And I'll tell you, they had the worst challenging weekend right before that happened, that they actually came in here. And it was really weird because Christine got a hold of you and said, hey, this crazy little black man said he's fasting, whatever you want him to pray about. So they said, yeah, have him pray about this too. But they came in here on a Sunday morning and we prayed. And then they went to get their testing done. And I keep this thing because I like to play it for everybody. I just used it for witness. What am I gonna do then? I'll hold them up. It should go, shouldn't it? Mm-hmm.
Hey, Pastor Phil, it's Carrie Eckerd. What I had to tell you that I just got off the phone with the doctor and in all of his years of medicine, he's never seen this happen, but she does not have HIV now.
Amen.
I love that. I am just so excited, and I had to tell you that he was just dumbfounded and studying it all day to make sure he had it right, director of microbiology, all of his colleagues. Nobody has ever seen this happen, so... praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. And God bless you. Bye.
Whoa! Hallelujah, Jesus! Praise the name of the Lord. Woo. Well, I got to tell you something. I plan to one day introduce you to two couples. Just three, actually, in the last 2 weeks that ministered such brokenness off of them that their babies are sued. I just went to Cincinnati yesterday and prayed for a baby, and they said, oh, my goodness, you know, this baby. And I said, oh, yeah, this is right where I need to be. So we prayed for that baby, and I'm telling you, you guys are going to be blessed by testimonies of what's happened to children already that you don't even know, that we're going to bring testimonies forward in the few years. No, in a few months. Hallelujah. Now, real quick here, I want to tell you something. I just found out by a very credible source, someone who was there, that in the military, it's required to go 3 weeks without food. Just so you can see. Now, this might not be everybody's training, but definitely for some of the training in the military, for special forces and for whoever, there are a time period where, you know, we have a friend of ours. They have a daughter in the military. And, boy, they're just upset because they can't get a hold of her. They can't talk. She went without meals her first day. She was thrown up, had to get rehydrated at the hospital. But listen, some places within the military, 3 weeks you go without food. But I'm telling you this to say this. The things I'm talking to you about in the supernatural realm of God, these are not just baby issues. These are very serious, critical issues that must come forth in your life. Amen? And I'm telling you, fasting, praying, prayer, being obedient to the word, these are things that should just take place in our life because we are Christians and because we want more than just the barely outliners of Christianity. But we're believing God for the deeper things. I want you to know that as it is with most things, there were some people that were mad in the Bible about Jesus and his disciples, and it looked like they were getting so blessed that some of these other people that didn't believe the way they did, these are the Pharisees and these are disciples of John. And someone came in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. It says, then came to him the disciples of John saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said to them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Oh, my goodness. First of all, I want you to know something, that the Lord was just getting ready, just getting to know his disciples when he was first here. He was just teaching them the things of God. So just like this, and with Regina and I, when we got married, let me tell you something. I might have tried to slim down a few days before to try to fit my suit, but when we were married, I wasn't fasting on that day. I was eating our wedding dinner. Amen. So the Lord says, when I'm just getting to know them, they don't have to fast. But when I go up, and when I need laborers on this earth, and when I need the earth protected, and when I need people to be strong, in those days, they're going to have to pray, they're going to have to fast, they're going to have to read the word, they're going to have to mature up, and they're going to have to do what needs to be done. You know, there's a time where the Bible says that the Lord says that there's times where the weaknesses and the sins of people God will overlook, but there's a time where he no longer will wink at some things. And you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's the chapter of love. We all love that. But there's a time in there where the Lord says that, hey, when you were a child, you spoke as a child, but now that you have grown up, you need to change your childish ways, and now you must speak and be an adult. I got to tell you something, too. For us in the church, you know what? We're going to have to be mature enough to handle different people. We're going to have to put away childish ways. Now, I got to tell you something. That I grew up, and you weren't allowed to discreet gas, if you know what I mean. You in my family, if you discreted gas around people, you got a whipping. Especially if there's adults around. Listen, you didn't do that even amongst your brothers and sisters. It was wrong to be discreet and guess. But you know, when I went to school, I found a group of friends that thought it was funny to even discreet guess on each other. And I thought, this is nasty, boys. You better get away from me. You're going to get a sock in the jaw. I don't do this kind of stuff. But some kids actually thought it was cute to, ooh, that's a good one. No, that ain't a good one. You do that in the bathroom. Don't be doing that all up around my nostrils. But what I had to do was, number one, I had to get used to them and understand that just because they believe in tooting in public doesn't mean I could discard them or not be friends with them. It means I had to be mature enough to accept some of the things they did, even though there are some things I didn't want to do, amen, and that I wasn't brought up to do, amen. And I want you to know that there's coming a day where we have to be mature enough. That number one, if someone is pooping their pants, it don't bother us. But we also have to be mature enough to make sure we're not pooping our pants. Amen. Some of us has got to grow up and get on with this thing. And we've got to be strong enough to mature up and do things. It's just like the military, Chad. They can't worry if I will ever be able to do it. What they know is that they can go away before me and make a way and cover my weaknesses. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like little babies. I won't get into all that, but when they're just little, it's okay that we got to wipe their diapers. But let me tell you something. They get about two or three. We want them to start doing that themselves. Wives even think that's cute. Don't even smell at two or three days old. First of all, yes, it does. It's just your love. It does. It's just your love covering a multitude of weaknesses. The first time you get to clean that little, you know, derriere part, you're like, oh, this is so cute. Let me tell you something. By the time you do that 2 years into this thing, it's no longer cute. Hey, I got to get you in the training pants. Hallelujah. This is over. Mom, nothing. Boy, you better get yourself on that potty. And listen to me. There comes a time where the Lord needs us to be strong enough in our lives to be powerful enough that he could accept us and expect us to take on the responsibilities of the kingdom of God. The Lord needs people who understand praying, fasting, doing what it takes to give up of their own life for the sake of the kingdom is worthwhile. You know, we expect high school boys to give up alcohol, drinking, and sleep to play sports and bring us a trophy and a championship team on. But why don't we in the kingdom expect ourselves to fast, pray, get on our knees, believe for someone else so that we can bring a soul home? I want you to understand something, that today I am not trying to get on you, but I do got to tell you that it's time for us to grow up and be responsible with the things of the kingdom. I want you to understand something, that the Lord has a great expectation of you. Who, of me? Yes. That you would love him and he would love you. And that you would recognize that you are enough. In fact, you're more than enough for what's needed in every circumstance that's around you. Well, I can't. Not on your own, you can't. Not on your own, you can't. But if you would just start asking God, Lord, come into my situation. Well, I can't even get out. I'm a shut-in. Listen, there was a woman by the name of Anna who said she never even went anywhere, but she just stayed at the temple fasting and praying. That's what she could do, but her part was enough to bring revival down right into the atmosphere. Listen to me. I tell you what, don't you ever discredit your voice. Don't you ever discredit who you are. What you do is enough. If you can't go out in the streets, just pray for me as I go. If you can't go across seas, just pray for me as I go. Don't, if you can't do something, don't worry about what you can't do. Only be concerned about what you can do, because what you got to give is enough. Amen. When the Lord touches it with his presence. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something that I'm trying to finish up here, but I tell you what, we got to land this plane and take off once or twice before we're done. I want you to know something, that when it comes to fasting, we found out that fasting can be used by a king when a nation is in trouble. Fasting can be used as an individual in Isaiah 58 when you need to change yourself to be in tune with God. And fasting can be used by a queen and a wife that intercedes with others for a whole nation. See, I got to get on my high horse for a minute. See, here's your problem right now. You look at the state of our politics, you look at the state of our country, you look at the state of our government, and you want to blame those leaders. Yeah. Well, if you're part of the church, it's your fault. Oh, yeah, listen, I ain't afraid to say it. brace me. I might need some protection here. I said, if you don't like who's in the White House, if you do like who's in the White House, if you don't like our politics, if you do like our politics, if you don't like what's going on, and I tell you, a whole bunch of it is crazy because we're never going to be a socialist nation. I'm not being political, but I'm just telling you that if you don't like what's going on as a church, it is your fault. We have given up our biblical, spiritual maturity and authority to take on the carnal nature of a world that needs us to find our place. You were never supposed to be on Facebook, hate book, marching out there doing all this, being a berater and a belittler. You were supposed to be on your knees praying, because the Bible says that if those who are called by my name would humble themselves, turn from wicked ways and begin to pray, I'll heal your land. Now listen to me. Don't you get out of your responsibility as an American citizen. You ought to vote. You ought to go out and do what's right. I expect you to buy the laws. And I tell you what, you better cast your vote. But I'm telling you, at the same time, we got so many Christians involved in hate book, protesting, all this stuff out there. Where are the Christians that are on their knees? Where are the Christians that are going before God and saying, listen, I can't do anything about this, but what I do have a right to do is that when I pray for those who are in position of authority, we will live a good and peaceful life on this earth. We have given up the heritage of our King for the nature of dead worldly things. I tell you what, it's time for us to get back to fasting and praying and pursuing God and seeing Him touch a nation. Listen, oh, I'll tell you right now. Oh, come on. What is wrong with the church that the nation doesn't even come to you and ask for prayer? You know, whether it was Billy Graham or some of the olds, you know, Chad, that there was never a time that there was not a prophet, pastor, prayer that was called to the White House when things were going rough. This covenant goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Do you remember that the king, when he got to the end of himself, he would call the prophets and the people of God to come and pray? Oh, I'm going about ready to blow your mind. Do you remember in the old covenant that the kings would go to the Lord and they'd come and say, we need someone who can see God? Do you remember a man by the name of Elisha? I want you to know that there was a time where the king said, look, it looks like we got a bad famine around here. Nothing will work. What can you do? And he said, I will go before my God and I will pray and we will hear what God has to say. And about that time, they saw a cloud the size of a man's fist. And the prophet said, oh my goodness. And an angel came and said, the only thing you got to do, Elisha the prophet, is I'm going to feed you a meal and you're going to fast and I'm going to water you, and you're going to run in the strength of that for 40 days, and the kingdom's going to break over, and it's going to flourish so much that the people won't even be able to stand themselves because the blessing's going to be so great. I added that part in. That's fillerized. But listen to me. I want you to see something, that the king didn't do things in his own way. When the prophet spoke, the king followed the direction. He said, hey, king, you need to get in your chariot and go down the hill. Why didn't the king say, prophet, you a wacky man. I got a horse and a chariot, and you want me to start before you, and you're going to run on your feet? The king didn't do that. The king said, listen, I've seen enough from Elisha that I know that when he speaks, his God is in control. And I got to tell you something. That king said, hurry up. If Elijah told us, don't run slow, run as fast as you can because the rain's coming. And then Elisha said, king, hurry up, man. You don't got enough of the head start. King, hurry up. Hurry up. And then all of a sudden, Elisha said, okay, rain, come. King, get your horse and catch up. And he ran not under the strength of the king, not under the strength of government, but the king ran in the strength of the anointing, the glory, and the authority of the man of God that should always go even before a king in his nation. Why do we got such a high suicide rate among teenagers and high school kids? Because the school's no longer blanketed with prayer. School shootings are not a mental issue. They're not a social issue. They are a spiritual issue. I want you to know something, the brokenness. You know, they're all upset about gun owners and shooting people up. And listen, I don't like the fact that a 200 to 2,000 people have died by gun shooting. I hate it. But I also hate more that 60-something to 90-something thousand people have died from suicide. Another 60 to 90,000 have died from opioid addiction. And oh, by the way, just under 900 million abortions. Just under 900,000 abortions. And we're talking about gun violence. I'm going to tell you something. I want to put everybody on notice. Let the American people keep their Second Amendment a right, but let the church go to our knees in fasting and prayer and ask God to take the wickedness out and bring the blessing of God in. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm not afraid of our Constitution. I'm not afraid of equal rights. I'm not afraid that we have a history that had a little slavery in it. Do I think any of those things were good? No, but I tell you what, it lasted in our nation less than any nation in the world. I want you to know I still go to nations where women ain't got equal rights, and it's 2019. Oh, come on, I got to tell you something. I had some relatives that was slaves in their 20s. Own land by the time they were in their 40s. You think that scares me? All it does is make me say, man, if anybody can do anything in this nation, I ought to be able to do something. If I just rely on God, I ought to be able to overtake. Let me tell you something. If I will go into the presence of the one true living God, if I will live out of the voice of him who redeemed me from the curse of the law, if I would live out of the power of him who said, Philip, I'm the one who lives in you, breathes in you, and in my very presence, you have your very being. If I would go towards him, how could I not live on this earth? I want you guys to understand something. I'm trying to finish quick. I'm trying to finish, but I want you to understand something. That we are not recognized as truly being the strong people we're supposed to be until we're recognized by both kingdoms. See, I want you to know that in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 23, we talk about it because Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost and power. Brother, he was the strongest he had ever been. It says that openly they said, this is Jesus, and he was being celebrated when he grows up. But here's what's really important. The heavens opened and a loud voice came and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I got to tell you something. I've had prophecies and hands laid on me, but I got to tell you something. I still got to tell you honestly, I ain't never had the heavens open and the Lord tell me directly that this is my beloved son in whom I will please. But I have had prophecies and I know what he spoke to me in prayer, and I do know that I'm a son of the living God. But I also know that I don't quite feel the shoes of him who's counted to be the first of many brethren. Amen. But I will also tell you this. That Jesus was living so clean and pristine that God evaluated him, found not a spot or wrinkle in him, and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then we have a voice from Jesus in John chapter 5 where he says, listen to me, I of my own self can do nothing. I only do and see and hear what my Father has me do. Amen? So I want you to understand something, that if there was ever a time that Jesus was going to run and just coast down the lazy river, this was it, wasn't it? He'd achieved it all. You ain't had no voice from heaven. But that position of power only caused Jesus to be even more led by the Spirit. Because we go to Luke chapter 4 and it says that the Spirit of God, after he came up out of his baptism, living the most holy he could ever be, he was led into the wilderness. See, some of you people have begun to believe for your greatest moments at the height of your highest amount of faith. And just because you got resistance, you bagged out. Well, if this was God, it would have worked out. If this was God, it'd be easy. If God really spoke to me, shouldn't I hear a chariot of clouds? I mean, when I got saved, he celebrated in heaven. Shouldn't he celebrate because I heard that he said cross the river? Shouldn't I celebrate because I heard that he said do this, do that, do that? It should be just a celebration. No, I'm sorry, people. Look at the Bible. When Jesus was living as clean as he'd ever been, strong as he'd ever been, that's when the devil came. And I also want you to know something. That you can get to such a point of strength that it's not good enough just to bring another spirit. I mean, Jesus was so strong that, you know, in some places, remember, Paul was assigned a messenger from Satan, wasn't he? to vex him because of his revelations and dreams. In other places, we see that the Lord has to cast devils out and cast oppression off of people because they were spirits assigned to harass very good Christian men and women. Amen? Boy, how long have you guys been saved?
Since April 30th, 1970.
Woo! Praise God. That was a memorable day, huh? And you guys have been married, what, going on 56, 57, 60 years in February, amen? And come on, come on. But during that time, he said something the other day in a message or a testimony. He said, the death angel has came to, for us several times. You suffered a stroke where they said you would never recover from. I met you shortly after that, didn't I? And we said no to the devil, but he authorized it because he said, doctor, that is not acceptable. And then this young man, you'd never believe it, but you suffered a heart attack that by all points should have killed you, right? And you got healed from it. And then there's been a few things, but we've prayed and God just keeps you strength. And how long ago was that heart attack? 2008. And this man is living strong and doing nothing wrong 11 years later. Hallelujah. I want you to know something, that only the word of God can take death sentences off of your life. And I want you to know something, that you would think after all those years of serving God, they would never be attacked, would they? You would think that because they've served God, they should just walk in blessing and goodness. But it's not God that attacked them. It was Satan. You don't even understand. After you get saved, sometimes we dig in deeper. And I tell you what, you don't get it. You get attacked not because you're in shame, not because God don't care, but you're getting attacked because the devil's already terrified of you.
Amen.
The devil's already terrified of you. If you've been, Logan, can I use you as an example? Get up here. Can I use your story? Get up here. Come on. We're live on TV. Come on. Hallelujah. Logan. Now, you were just clean and pristine when I met you, weren't you?
No.
Are you telling me that you may have drank a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me you may have even looked, not saying you took them or smoked, but you could have looked at a little drugs or a little marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And at that time, you were frustrated, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You were angry?
Yeah.
You were angry?
Yeah.
You could have hurt people.
I was good at it.
Yeah. In fact, there's no telling where you could have went, right?
Mm-hmm.
But somehow God came in the middle of your most anger, your most mad time.
Mm-hmm.
You met a crazy little black man.
Yeah.
And you gave your life to the Lord, didn't you?
Yep.
And I tell you what, that day the devil, if he could have held him down, he would have held him down. At that moment, the devil was stronger in this young man's life than he had ever been. He was full of anger, and he was just full of all that. But, yeah, you can go sit down. But listen to me. At that moment, when the devil wanted to kill him, somehow the grace of God restored him. And all he had to do was say, Jesus! And once he said, Jesus, the devil's power was broken off of his life. So here we find out that when we're at our weakest, the devil's terrified because we're already stronger than him. See, this is why he fights your fasting. This is why he fights your holy living. This is why he comes against you and tries to get you to compromise. This is why he wants all of you unmarried people to get out of your first few months of holiness and go back to the sack, unmarried. This is why he wants all of you off of drugs to get pressure and go back to that which brought you under, because he's terrified that you're going to hear a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son or my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Because if he ever hears that voice in your ear, he will come to attack you because he's terrified of you at your weakest moment. Can you imagine the havoc you can wreak when you come out of your own wilderness filled with the power of the living God? See, I got to lay it on you. I'm not even going to go there because I want you to have to read it later, because you're like, I still don't know if I believe that I have to be verified by both kingdoms. Oh, really? It was God that said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But if we go to Acts chapter 19, oh, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and read it. This is my last scripture. I know I've probably preached a little long, Are you complaining?
No.
Good, because it wouldn't matter anyway. I got to give you what God wants me to give you, and I'm not going to be disobedient. Listen, I'm a caretaker of souls, and I don't see sometimes people think that I teach long on Sunday because I like to hear myself speak. No, listen to me. I have to be careful over every word I speak on a Sunday morning because you belong to God. And I have a responsibility. Do you know that when I get to heaven, I don't just get to hear, oh, you did, treated your wife good, you treated your son good. No, the Bible says that I'm going to give account for any blood on my hands for giving you wrong scripture. That's why we're going into the whole honor thing. But anyhow, it says here in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, God, and it says, and you can read before that, how did Paul get to the point where these miracles was happening? But in verse 11, it says, God wrote special miracles by the hands of Paul so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. See, this is why you have to do your own fasting, your own praying, your own growing, and your own living right. My faith is not always going to work for you. Friends and family's faith, your mama's prayers is not always going to cover you. We can do so much. But there comes a time in the kingdom of God where the kingdom of darkness looks over and says, ah, listen, I don't know who you are in terms of the kingdom of God. I know who you are under your identity that belongs to me. Therefore, I'm going to harass you, torture you, and mistreat you because I don't see a kingdom identity on you. See, because in this scripture, it says that the devils came when he tried to use the sons of Sceva. Listen, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, that means that theirs were Jews believing in exorcism and dark works when they could have just believed in Jesus. So they were outside of their own identification. Look upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Listen to me. I want you to be able to cast out devils, but listen, you're not going to be able to face a devil and say, I call upon the name of the Jesus that Pastor Phil knows. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And all of a sudden, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Now, I got to give you a couple different things here. One time, I thought I was ready to handle devils. Listen to me. I would never handle a devil unless the Lord gives me the authority to handle a devil. In other words, I don't just sit there and cast devils out of everything at my own whim. I wait to hear the voice of the Lord. Then I'll chase a devil down from here to New York. In fact, one time when I first came to this city, I was working down in Troy, Ohio. And some people called me and said, oh, Pastor Phil, there's a person up here who has a devil. We need you. And I said, what? I'm down in Troy. They said, we need you. I said, don't you have other pastors? They said, well, there's 7 to 13 people here praying now. It ain't working. And this devil has ran about 13 people out just today. And we believe about 30 pastors in the last week or two. Boy, I got mad right away. My radar raised up. And I said, who is this devil? I said, let me talk to this person because I knew them. And I said, hey, how are you doing? Oh, Pastor Phil, not so good. I said, really? I said, you haven't? Oh, yeah, it's bad. I said, I heard that there's devils up there and there's problems up there. And I heard that even you might have a devil. And about that time, the sweet little lady's voice went away. And all of a sudden, a voice said to me, and I am not letting her go. And the whole place went, ah! And I could hear people screaming. And I said, well, you know who I am. Ah! And I said, and I'm coming. And in the name of Jesus, you will let her go. I didn't scream. I didn't shout. I said it real peacefully. But that thing went, ah! I could hear him raging all in the background. So I go flying up the highway. And all of a sudden, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. I'm ready to take care of this devil. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call. Hello, Philip. Oh, hi, Pastor. Pastor Dosick. Where are you at? And I said, well, I just left work early. I won't be at church tonight. He said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, where are you at? I said, well, I got to go on this journey to get rid of a devil. He said, I didn't ask you that. I said, where are you at? I said, well, oh, I'm almost at the exit of your house. He said, exactly. Turn down this road and come and pick me up. He said, I know what you're doing. I said, yeah, I got to go take care of a devil. He said, no, we're going to take care of a devil. And I pulled down that road, got him in the car, and we went right to where this situation was. And we got right involved in there, and there was people in there praying, doing their best, and we were nice to them. And I said, oh, I was, get up here, Chad Smith. Come on, get up here. You know, have you ever heard stories of young bulls and old bulls? Don't tell those jokes. But I will tell you that he represents in this case, even though he's a younger man than me, he's going to represent the old bull. And I'm going to represent me, Pastor Phil Walker, with Pastor Peter Dosick in front of him. And we walked in there, and I said, look at him, Pastor. I said, they're trying to pray. And they were all praying in the Holy Ghost, doing what they could do. And I appreciated them, and they were doing a good job. They really were. This was a big demonic oppression. And they were doing their best, and we respected it. But they'd been in this battle going on 6, 7, 8 days. People weren't eating. This woman hadn't ate. And all of a sudden, I said, Pastor, do you want me to kick them out and so we can pray? He said, Philip, no. I said, what do you want? He said, I want you to settle down and just pray in the Holy Ghost. I said, okay. Are we ready? He said, Philip, just pray. Okay. Then he said, hey, you guys have done a great job. I appreciate you, but you're tired. And how about you go and we'll pray? And he said, except for you. And he looked at this woman's husband. He said, you stay with us. Needless to say, we dealt with the devil, got him out of there. I licked my wounds and learned who really had authority between us. But I want you to know, yeah, I want you to know that we cast that devil out. And here's, I forgot to tell this part. I don't want to go too long, but I do got to tell you. We got to hear at 7:10. No, we got here at 8 to 10 minutes after 7. And I said, Pastor, we're already late. And he said, I know, Philip, because we had been battling for 45 minutes. He said, but I need something to drink, and God will give us grace. So I went in, got him something to drink, me something to drink. We're driving towards Botkins, and I'm telling this story back and forth. He said, yeah, this was neat, this was neat, this was neat, this was neat. And I promise you that we turned off of Route 33 onto 33 South, or onto 75 South, and we were 5 minutes from Botkins, and it was about 7:30. It was impossible. And I had a man that knows stuff that calculated, said, yeah, it's humanly impossible. Even if your car was going 120, 150, you can't possibly get from where you were till there. I tell you, it's my practice run at being translated. One day, you guys, I'm going to be preaching in Africa, and you're going to say, it's going to take him 3 days to get back. And some of you are not going to show up for church because you think I'm in the air. And all of a sudden, I'm going to just bust down through the clouds, woo, and be on the platform. And you're going to say, you're here 3 days early. And I'm going to say, amen, I'm traveling on God's time. But anyhow, I want you to know something, that this scripture says that all of a sudden, Jesus I know and Paul I know. The devil just gave us too much information, didn't he, Lee? Because if it was Jesus, every one of us would say, well, he's the Son of God. There's no way we could do that. If he was Abraham, we'd all say, oh, well, it's fitting that Abraham. If he was even, say, Moses or Joseph or Mary, any of those people, we could make up excuses as to why we couldn't be in that same line of scripture where the evil spirit says, Jesus I know and Paul I know. But the Lord wanted us to understand that if we had been the purest in the kingdom our whole life, like Jesus, we would have authority easily over the devil. But see, what he wanted to do is take away all our excuses. Well, I took drugs. Did you ever kill a Christian? Come on now. Moses, he can, even Moses. But Moses, you and I could justify because he was out in the thug life, you know what I mean? He was living rough, so him fighting with dudes and killing a man out there when they're all angry, that ain't no big deal. When we see people shoot each other that are killers and each other and doing the drug thing, we can handle that anyway. So Moses, even though he got recovered, we could, but no. Paul, who used to be Saul, he was killing good people, and not just one. He was there when Stephen got down. He was there when the family wept. He was there when mothers and brothers and sisters were brokenhearted because really good, honest, living men were put to death at the hand of that Paul that was once Saul. But see, Jesus gave this example through the wisdom of Scripture so that we should say, Jesus, the one who lived perfect and holy his whole life, got to a place where he had authority over devils, and Saul, who became Paul, who was the chief of all sinners and lived his life at a lower level than I have ever. Even if I've been a killer, even if I've been a smoker of drugs, even if I've fornicated, even if I've beaten on people and mistreated children, I have never been the killer of multiple of Christians like Paul, who Saul was. And the Lord took away every excuse, because now that scripture can say, Paul I know, Jesus I know, and Logan I know. Paul I know, Jesus I know, and even Steve I know. Woo! Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. See, there's nothing you could do now to sign yourself up with any excuse that would say I'm not good enough or I'm not enough. See, in a few weeks from now, I'm going to preach on the power of a hair. Oh, see, I'm going to preach on the power of a hair. Then I really take your excuses away, because the Lord says even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Praise God. And like me and you, we're glad he says that, because we're kind of counting. But there was a time where we couldn't count, but we could probably count now. But the important thing is God says. Now listen to me, people. There's not one of you who's done enough to say, Pastor Phil, I've been a killer of Christians multiple times. No, you don't understand, Pastor Phil. Even when I knew what it brought, when I saw Stephen get his head bashed in, I stopped. No, no, no. Saul went and got more rights to kill Christians. He says, I was the chief of all sinners. So now, I get to put you on notice that none of you can claim that you were the chief of all sinners. So none of you can claim the right to stay up under the bondage of a wicked one who can recognize Jesus and Paul. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I save this piece to the end. If you got mad about this message today, if you're mad because I'm stretching you and causing you to fast, pray, and go deeper, it's not my fault, it's your fault. Yeah, because you chose not to be the milk church anymore. You chose to be the church of the second mile. You chose to be a church that was seeking. Listen, if I could only preach milk here, I would. I would know by the Holy Ghost, because Paul came into church. And Brother Carroll, when Paul came in, did he say, I've only come prepared to teach milk today?
No.
He said, I come in filled up with meat, and I want to release it. But today I can't release meat, because I have discerned by the Spirit of God that you are such milk dwellers that if I give you much more than baby food, I could choke the little bit of spiritual life you got in you out. And he said, I have come upon you with revelations and dreams after fasting and praying, and I would desire to give you meat. But I come seeing that you are yet carnal, youthful, and because of that, I can only give you milk. So clap for yourselves, only believe, Kenton. Yeah, amen, amen. Because from this day forward, and I know you already see a difference in your pastor, I know it. I've always preached a good, strong word to you, but something in the last few weeks has changed in our atmosphere. And I want you to know that you graduated where you're no longer a milk dweller, but you are an eater of meat. Woo, that's politically unpopular right now. People want to go back to vegetarianism all the time. Well, let me tell you something. In the kingdom of God, you ain't going to be no vegan. You can be a vegan in your physical body, eat all the vegetables you want, but when you come up in the house of God, you need a good portion of vegetables, meat, and the strong meat of the word of God, and I'm going to give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh. I know I went long. Can I give you just one more quick revelation? One and done, honey, I promise. Remember when you graduated from being a junior high schooler to being a freshman? Now, Lee, the truth was, When you and I was in eighth grade, boy, we was walking it, talking it, playing a little sports. We thought we were all this and a bag of Chippos. Now, at that time, we were the strongest we had ever been. Of course, we were just cocky little young boys. But then we went into our freshman year. We had to get changed. We had to go in. We had to handle more responsibility. We had more classes to go to. And even though we were the strongest we had ever been in our new authority, we were yet the weakest at that moment because the sophomores, juniors, and seniors was way stronger than we were. But we were still the strongest we had ever been in our life. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just telling you this, that we have left the eighth grade, and we are at least in our freshman year. And I want you to know that you need to get excited because you're the strongest you've ever been. But you're also at a new authority where you're the weakest you'll ever be. And from this day forward, now and forever, you shall see the strength and the goodness of the Lord coming upon your lives. Give the Lord a hand clap. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare your glory. We declare your authority, Father. Lord, I thank you that today you would speak to this house. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. And I know each and every one of you. Lord, you'd speak to this house and tell them, you are not just barely enough, you're more than enough. God, you would speak to this house and tell them, I've called you to be laborers. I've called you to rescue. I've called you to save. I've called you to bring out and to do. And you're well able because you're not by yourself or alone. But I am forever with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Well, I tell you what, I preached long to you today. Maybe it's because I'm going to be gone next week, but I'll be back quick. And I count on you to be here when I'm out doing the work of the Lord. Listen, I count on you. Listen, all I have to do is hear your live stream and hear you sing. All I have to do is see your faithfulness.